thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
To save time, that's going to be where Keenum's going to try to work the ball on the boundary. Keenum steps into it, passes, caught, Diggs, sideline, touchdown, unbelievable, Vikings win it!
You're listening to the
Welcome to All Things DMV with Will T. Just kidding.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Will T, and Ray. That was a great game. That Minnesota Vikings Saints game was awesome.
It was. It was a great. That was an improbable ending. I don't think I've ever seen the end of a playoff game end like that. A walk-off touchdown like that, Stephon Diggs, that was just amazing play. And Marcus Williams.
I feel bad for him.
Yeah, he's always going to be remembered in history for no matter what he does from this point on in his career.
Mm-hmm.
He can go on to make two or three Pro Bowls, make an All-Pro one year, mm-hmm. but no one will forever forget this play.
Oh, I agree. But big ups to DMV's own Stephon Diggs. Big ups to him, man. Ray, you want something? You got something to say? What's all that? We're not talking about my man from NFL Network. So don't do that. Don't do that right now.
You've been talking about Stephon Diggs for a few days.
He's a beast.
We're a big fan of Stephon Diggs on this show. Absolutely.
Exactly, so, man.
We're happy for him and happy for the entire DMV. We are representing.
Exactly. Represent.
Kevin Durant won a championship ring last year.
Mm-hmm.
So now Stephon Diggs makes a big play, but he's still got a lot of work left, him and his team.
Yeah, NFC championship game. On Sunday.
In Philadelphia.
In Philly.
Who would have thought that?
Cheese steaks. Oh, the cheese steaks.
Hey, Will T, how do we do things, man?
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Here are our topics. The NFL divisional games over the weekend. We'll discuss that at 8:20. We'll discuss if Case Keenum will be a viable option for the Washington Redskins. At 8:30, we'll break down the NFC championship games for next weekend. At 8:40, we'll talk about John Gruden being the new head coach for the Oakland Raiders. Finally, at 8:50, we'll discuss the MLK East Coast Jam Fest. It was a high school basketball event over the weekend, and Ray I attended. So
as
members of the media, exactly.
That's what you guys are. You're members of the
media. You need to join the party because it leads to a lot of perks. We got free food, fried fish,
and we got
fish fries. You know, I didn't eat the fish.
We did get t-shirts.
We did.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you got something out of the deal.
Oh my God! All right, man. Let's talk about the NFL divisional games. There were four games.
Four games.
The Eagles defeated the Falcons 15-10. Patriots defeated. Titans 35-14.
Told you.
Jaguars defeated the Steelers 45-42.
I got that one wrong.
I told you.
I told you too.
Vikings defeated the Saints 29-24 in a thriller, which we did discuss.
We all went 3-1.
Exactly. All right. So we talked about a little bit, but your thoughts on that Vikings Saints game?
No, go ahead, Ray.
No, I wasn't going to say anything about that just yet. Go ahead.
What were you going to say? Go ahead.
No. I was just going to point out how. And reviewing last week's show, I felt like we gave really good analysis about what would happen during playoff weekend.
Hey, now, I believe so.
All of us had one slight mishap, but we talked about Mike Tomlin's decision making and a few other areas. Go back and listen, you know, to the people who are right now on air with us. But I'm just saying, I was going to give us a compliment versus arguing over who was right and who was wrong. You know, because with two games, obviously they could have went either way. Right or wrong. To me, the Jaguars and Patriots had the games handled. I know the Steelers made a valiant comeback, but their defense never showed up.
Yeah.
But the Vikings game, come on now. It was a miracle, as we said. And the Atlanta game, they were on a 2-yard line and somehow didn't cash it in. So they could have went either way. So, you know, it's no point of gloating. But go ahead, sir.
No, I mean, I like how you prefaced the Atlanta and Philadelphia game.
Do y'all just want to talk about that game?
Let's talk about the Vikings game.
Okay, I'm
an amazing ending to that game.
Yeah.
Excuse me. At one point, the Saints were down 17-0 going into the second half, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Then they relied a little bit more on the running game, and Drew Brees made plays as he always does, moving around in the pocket, extending the play.
Mm-hmm.
And And that defense, New Orleans Saints defense got a couple of stops in the second half, which and brought it to a very close game. But ultimately, Stephon Diggs made an improbable play that no one thought he would make.
Yeah, you know, I felt like the Vikings did have that game in hand. I think Case Keenum's interception in the second half, we just threw the ball up, gave New Orleans a chance.
And no one will ever remember that. It was actually Marcus Williams who made that interception.
Yeah, exactly. He made that big interception. It was a sloppy pass, but it gave New Orleans momentum, put them back in the game. And then obviously that block punt helped pretty much give New Orleans that lead in the second half, in that fourth quarter, excuse me.
I just think playoff experience showed, the lack of playoff experience for the Vikings showed, and the experience of Sean Payton and Drew Brees showed for the Saints. Because you have the number one ranked defense in the league in the Vikings. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they can't stop Drew Brees. At one point, he completed, I believe, 9 passes in a row. Mm-hmm. He lit them up in the second half. So all of a sudden, you can't get to the quarterback. You can't cover. I know they're explosive. I love Kamara. He was on my fantasy squad, by the way, and Michael Thomas. Mm-hmm. I know
Kamara.
I said Kamara.
Okay.
I know that these two guys are explosive. The Saints offense with that two-headed monster at running back, I get it. But I just feel like the Vikings began to choke. And I think the fact that they were able to get this improbable win will help them going into Philly, where Philly right now does not have the strongest quarterback play. But it's going to come down to a few other factors. We'll get there. But the Saints, you got to give them a lot of credit for being on the road, which generally Drew Brees is known for and Sean Payton is known for not winning on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back, taking the lead. You had 4 lead changes there in the final 3 minutes, and they hung in there. They should have won the game, but ultimately the Vikings did come out with it because of that play. But I think, in order for them to go into Philly and advance to the Super Bowl, they're going to have to learn from the mistakes they made as far as, their defense just seeming not being able to handle the moment.
To me, I wouldn't put it on the defense. I thought that, again, that turnover put New Orleans in scoring position off the bat. That interception you threw, or the block punt. If you take those two plays away, the Vikings defense wasn't as terrible.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is the Vikings a defensive team?
Yes.
Thank you. So you win with defense.
Yes.
Yeah, but you don't expect
to win with offense. I don't care what they interception.
But if they put you in a short field, it's hard for your defense to perform, right?
That's very true.
That's what I'm saying.
But you're the number one defense in the league. But you talking about one possession?
No, the block punt.
That was
good field position.
Okay, that's a good play by New Orleans.
Yeah, I'm just saying that you're putting the defense in a compromising position. That's all I'm saying. That defense, if you look at when New Orleans had to go the length of the field, the defense balled. That's on
the
ball.
They went the length of the field.
Right. Twice, two of their touchdowns were off turnovers.
Okay. Okay. How many points did they end up with?
24. It's 14.
How many points did they end up with?
24. It was 24-29.
Exactly. So they scored another touchdown going the length of the field.
Right.
So, and then on the last drive, they got a field goal in time.
But I'm saying that's 20. If you take away 14 points.
Okay, the Saints had 2 turnovers that helped the Vikings.
But that was, they never flipped the field. It didn't flip the field. The interception Drew Brees gave up was, I believe, right at the red zone, around the red zone. It didn't flip the field.
Regardless, my point is, if you are going to be known as a defensive team, I feel like they struggled to stop Drew Brees in the offense, regardless of the turnovers. Not even if you give him 14 points, you still have given your team a lead. They're 17-14, right or wrong.
Singer? Sorry, I missed that part.
Right.
You still, your team still has the lead, 17-14, regardless of the turnovers. And again, your offense hasn't carried you, so you have to be expecting this.
No, I'm just saying, all I'm saying is that defensively, they didn't play a horrible game.
I don't know. Who said they did?
You said that their defense has to step up to show that.
No, I'm just saying, I feel like their lack of playoff experience showed because,
I agree.
Drew Brees and that offense began to move the ball with ease.
Let me ask you.
Now, did they not move the ball with ease as the game progressed?
Yes. Yeah,
thank you.
I'm not going to say with ease, but they
thank you.
they were more readily able to move the ball compared to the first half.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
This is one question I always ask people. This is one thing I never understood. Well, everyone says playoff football, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have the dimensions of the field changed? It's still the same thing. Do the refs call the game any different?
I know where you're going. Same rules.
So I never understood when people say playoff basketball, playoff football, like these things don't change. It's just I'm gonna tell you what happens.
I'll listen.
No.
Coaching, the mindset of the coaches change and the players change. They become more tense because they know it's a win or go home situation.
So they start.
No.
It's pressure.
It's more pressure. Mm-hmm. No, you say playoff football. No,
it's a difference.
No, the football game does not play. The mentality of the players change.
The referees,
they become. I don't like to call them this, but they become more of cowards.
Okay,
the referees do call it a little differently in terms of pass interference. They don't call it as frequently as you would see it in the regular
season. I'm telling you. Two things. First of all, as LeBron James, there's a difference between playoff basketball and regular season basketball. I guarantee.
So cliche. Such a cliche thing to say. I'm sorry.
I love you.
It worked. There's a daggone difference.
I'm sorry. It's cliche.
Okay.
Look, I understand. I'm not a professional athlete, and I've never been in the moment, and I'm not in that arena, right?
Uh-huh.
But look, you've prepared yourself your whole career to play these types of games. I apologize. Go ahead, Bray.
No, you're fine.
It's the same reason why North Dakota State can upset UConn in the NCAA tournament, because they know it's win or go home and they give it all that they have. But if North Dakota State goes to play UConn in the second game of the season, they get blown out. What's the difference? It's a big difference because they know that the magnitude of the game is different. You said it, though. The mentality is different, right? The players, correct? It goes hand in hand. It's the same thing. Secondly, the referees absolutely call the game's differently in the playoffs. There are some players they're going to let go. They're like, we can't call that moment in the playoffs.
Do the rules change?
No, the rules do not change.
The rules do not change. So you know the rules going into the game.
You can't enforce the rules.
But you can do your best to put yourself in a position to adhere to the rules.
Out of a second championship because of a bad call. Does that have anything to do with the Hurricanes? Heck no.
Let's go to Rays Falcons real quick, though.
Let's talk about it.
All right. They failed the Eagles over the weekend, scoring only 10 points. All right. What's up with their
offense? That's what a good defense does. A good defense in the playoff does.
All right. Is it more the Eagles defense?
For full disclosure, I used to be an Eagles fan. I'm no longer an Eagles fan.
I hear you. Is it more the Eagles defense or the Falcons offense in that game?
It's Matt Ryan. That's exactly what it is. It's Matt Ryan. No, seriously. And this is the best example I can give you, right?
Go ahead.
Drew Brees.
You're losing credibility by the minute.
No, how am I losing credibility? Listen to my example. Drew Brees in the second half of that game, when a play needed to be made, what did he do? He made a play.
He made a play. I'm with you. I dig it, though. The second half of the Atlanta game.
Matt Ryan needed to make a play. Uh-huh. What did Matt Ryan do? Not make a play as he's always done. Outside of last season when he was NFL MVP. I've always told you this. Matt Ryan, Alex Smith, Kirk Cousins, they're the same guy. Only thing is, Alex Smith can make a play with his legs and extend the play. But come the second half when he needs to make a play, he never does it. Same thing as Matt Ryan.
You can't say outside of this or outside of that. You know what I mean? Because it happens. Sloane Stephens, tennis player, over the weekend, she was criticized because she lost in the first round of Australian Open. She said, I'm a Grand Slam champion. You can't take that away from me. You can criticize me for losing this time, yes. I'll have ups and downs, but I'm a Grand Slam champion.
Matt Ryan,
he was NFL MVP last year, regardless of what you say. So it wasn't all on Matt Ryan. Is it Matt Ryan's fault that Julio Jones slipped and kind of got pushed out of his route?
He didn't get pushed out of his route. He slipped.
Okay, well, whatever. Didn't I just say he slipped?
And you said kind of got pushed out of his route.
Kinda.
So don't add the caveat that he got pushed out of his route.
Okay.
He slipped.
Okay, he slipped.
And but still had a chance to make a play on the ball.
Is that his fault, though? Is that Matt Ryan's
fault? No, but did Matt Ryan have an opportunity to make plays in the second half?
No. I'm talking about one play that made all the difference in the world. If he doesn't slip and he throws up and Julio Jones catches that ball, then we have a totally different discussion.
Game is not decided on one play.
The New Orleans game was.
That was a culmination of a lot of plays. It was. The game was won on that one, but the game isn't made. There are other plays that Matt Ryan didn't make through the second half.
What? Exactly, because you're talking out your butt.
No, I'm not talking out my butt.
I don't even know if you watched the game.
Yes, I did watch the game. I watched the game.
Tell me where he failed at, and then I'll jump in.
Real quick. Go ahead.
When the rush came. Hold on, listen. When the rush came, Matt Ryan on numerous occasions.
On what occasion? Kevin Sheehan would have said specific plays at that moment.
I'm not Kevin Sheehan. I'm not getting paid to do this.
On our Facebook page, you know, I asked, was it Matt Ryan's fault? Leslie Clark said, offensive coordinator this messed guy? The game up first.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, maybe that's
fine. All right, but first of all,
I grew up with who's another hater.
Passing, but he's passing my man, plays. Though. You run four passing plays. All right. And
Matt Ryan.
And George agrees. George agrees. The offense, it was the offensive play caller.
Steve Sarkisian, he's been criticized all year. I'm not going to put the blame on him because the players got to execute what he calls. And there are times where I feel like Matt Ryan, a lot of pressure is put on him because the offensive line. Remember last week when they beat the Rams, I said, I can't believe the offensive line held up that way against a really good pass rush. The offensive line is not the greatest. And Matt Ryan does a lot to make sure he gets the ball out. He doesn't take a lot of sacks. Philadelphia had a chip on their shoulder, too, because of all the talk that they couldn't win that game. They were underdogs, a number one seed at home, and I think that contributed as well. Atlanta's defense did what they did. I just feel like in the second half – now, first of all, I had to go back and watch highlights and watch replays because we covered that basketball tournament. So
but
I didn't
you're the
see
media.
The game.
I get it. You're the media.
Exactly. But watching that game, I still feel as though – and this is going back to a season ago with Kyle Shanahan – the Falcons did not use their run game. If you watched how they started the game – Will, you watched the game, right?
Yes,
allegedly, you saw how they started the game on the ground, right? Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman, they were effective getting yardage.
Yes, they were.
That's what I'm saying. So what happens? I know they didn't – I know somebody just said they didn't run enough pass plays, but if the running game is working –
They ran too many passes, four pass plays. They said four pass plays.
Oh, at the end of the game when they were in the red zone, when they were at the nine.
Yeah.
Right, they should have ran the ball. That's kind of what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. They should have ran the ball, but they had four pass plays and Matt Ryan completed.
I was talking about the home game. But here's the thing. That's where I feel like if the defense scouts, then you will know that this is what they're going to do. And even that rollout play, how long they've been running dumb rollout plays since the Mike Smith days, which against the Packers and Aaron Rodgers when he beat the heck out the Falcons at home. That got picked off. That same play to the opposite side. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not just talking out of, you know, ignorance.
Anyway, man, we talked about Case Keenum earlier. Would he be a good fit for the Washington Redskins in the offseason? We'll discuss that after break.
Are you
kidding
me?
You listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You did.
Deuces.
What about the other playoff games?
No, you sit tomorrow.
Call it how it is. Hedges. I promise you, swag. In your midriff, bitch, trust you. I'm going to shoot you. Yo.
Listen to Urban Sports. And I'm Wally, Will T. Ray. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you rate us and leave us a comment. I mentioned before the break, Case Keenum looked clutch in the postseason game. He did look clutch. He hit Stephon Diggs in the last play, right? Wasn't that clutch? So he looked clutch in his first postseason game as a starter.
The moment that he rose to the occasion.
Right. So he has one more postseason win than Kirk Cousins, right?
Yes.
So,
well, you are really stretching for show topics going with this one. But go ahead, we're going to do it anyway.
So, would he be a good fit under Jay Gruden and the Washington Redskins?
Heck no.
Why do you say that? Well, you don't believe, like, why? Why? How come Case Keenum?
Okay. I'll make your point first.
So this is the thing, though, right?
Yeah.
With Kurt, he's done it over a larger sample size, okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Case Keenum, though, he's never really been given the opportunity to be a starter full time.
Mm-hmm.
It's only been on limited occasions, right?
Mm-hmm.
This year, he's made the best of his opportunity. We don't know if it's because of the offense that he's in, or did he truly catch lightning in a bottle for one season.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I would say if you have the opportunity to sign Kurt and you don't have to break the bank, you go with that. You go with that route.
So, no, the thing is that if Case Keenum is cheaper, right?
I mean, it's relative. How much cheaper? Do you really think you're
23? Say 23 million. Say the asking
price. I'm not paying Case Keenum 23 million.
So you're paying Kurt 28 to 30 million?
No, you're going in the draft and getting a quarterback.
I'm just saying that's your option.
You'll get either one of these guys. I don't even know why Case Keenum is in a discussion. First of all,
if he takes his team to the Super Bowl, he's getting money. He's getting paid. He said someone's going to want it, Case Keenum.
You know what? This show would be great if Case Keenum is a starter here next year. I would enjoy it.
Me too.
He won't have a number one defense to get him shorter fields.
Somebody really dislikes somebody. He's not going to have a run game. Case Keenum.
I don't really dislike. You talk about Case Keenum. If I'm a Falcons fan, right, and somebody asked me, hey, would you like Case Keenum to be your quarterback as Matt Ryan's? I'd be like, hell no. Hey, let's start over.
I'll say this, Matt Ryan, you're really stretching for topics, bro. But listen,
that name came from somewhere. He makes big throws all the time. But anyway, go ahead.
He makes them on occasion.
It's not about that.
Plenty of quarterbacks that can't make the number of plays that Matty Ice or Matt Ryan has made over the years.
Uh-huh.
But it's just that when it's that big moment, he does it to me. He doesn't elevate to that big moment. If Case Keenum, let's do the hypothetical.
Yeah.
If Case Keenum were to come to DC,
yeah,
as Ray alluded to, he won't have the same defense.
Mm-hmm.
He won't have the same running game.
Mm-hmm.
And he won't have the same caliber of receivers that he has in Minnesota.
This is all true. I'm not going to take that away from him. That's all true.
I think it's foolish for any Washington fan to come here and think that Case Keenum is going to catch lightning in a bottle like he did in Minnesota if he came to D.C.
Point blank, it's not an upgrade. Case Keenum is not an upgrade.
How much better is Kirk Cousins to Case Keenum? That's the question.
With Kirk Cousins, you're getting a guy that's going to be at the top when he has one of those elite seasons.
Mm-hmm.
He can do what Matt Ryan did.
I guess this is my question, but the floor on him
is you're going to get a guy that's in the top 12 of quarterbacks in the NFL.
But let's put it this way. Neither one of Reed's defense is the best. Is Jay Gruden a good offensive coordinator? Supposedly. In terms of offensive minds in the NFL. I think he's a good play designer. Okay. And his quarterbacks typically put up decent numbers.
His quarterbacks put up numbers in the system, but the run game is lacking.
No, I agree. But I'm saying in terms of quarterback play, right? So we're going to look at it because that's what we're assessing, right? His quarterbacks have put up decent numbers.
They usually are good numbers.
Absolutely.
So I'm just saying, how do we know, per se, when we're talking about Kirk Cousins compared to a Case Keenum, right?
So you think he could turn Case Keenum?
All I'm saying is that he can give you numbers. It's not about, again, we're not talking about wins, right? We're not talking about wins because in that case here, Kirk Cousins hasn't won. When we're talking about numbers, right? Because that's the whole thing people judge Kirk Cousins on is numbers. If we're talking about numbers, could Case Keenum put up numbers with Jay?
Well, no, Jay Gruden is not at this point because when the media mentioned that to him, what did he say? We're 7-9.
We're 7-9.
It does come down to wins at the end of the day. But you know what, though? For real, Kirk has to take the blame on some of it. Because look at what Sean McVay did this year in L.A. Sean McVay, did he help Kirk Cousins to have one of the greatest seasons for any Redskins quarterback? Highest completion percentage, 5,000 yards, whatever. But in the red zone, for some reason, the Redskins could never cash in.
Yeah.
So you can't put that all on the coaches. Kirk Cousins' decision making sometimes is questionable when he throws off his back foot, when he doesn't seem to be prepared for the blitz. There are things that Kirk Cousins does need to fix in his game, and ultimately that's up to Kirk Cousins. Because I think Jay Gruden, even with Kirk Cousins in the equation, his track record is proven too.
Who, Jay Gruden?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it, some of it does come down to Kirk Cousins. I don't know if Case Keenum is the best decision maker either, based on the sample size that I have of seeing him the last 2 years.
You talking about just last two years in the season.
Last two seasons. One with Minnesota, and prior to that,
LA, right?
Yeah, right.
LA.
Mm-hmm. So, and what did LA do?
Oh, they did nothing.
With Jeff Fisher,
who again, a lot of people have been negative on.
You know,
it's not a lot. It's me.
No, you're not the only one. Many people have hated on Jeff Fisher.
I'm just saying, with you. I would not necessarily take Case Keenum because I just don't think it's an upgrade. Jay Gruden may be able to transform, but is that going to translate to more red zone touchdowns?
Well, I mean, I'm talking about if you're looking at stats. If we're talking about stats. You look at
stats are better.
Like you look this season, if you look at Case Keenum's stats this season, almost about 70% completion percentage, almost about 4,000 yards, 22 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
But you also have
Kirk Cousins have thrown more interceptions than Case Keenum.
But you this also season,
this
yes. season.
I'm just talking about this, and that's what I'm going on. Oh.
No,
this
but this is the thing you always have to factor in. You always have to factor in. Case Keenum has the best receiving duo in the NFL this season.
Agreed. I'm not taking that. I agree. Statistically speaking,
Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, yes, best duo in NFL this season.
Talking about stats,
I don't know that as a fact, but you know, I know that is a good core receiving core.
It may be arguably the best duo.
Yeah,
I'm not saying
the whole receiving core. I'm talking about those two receivers.
Houston got two good ones out there too that put up big numbers.
No, but they hurt though. He was hurt for most of this season.
Yeah, William Fuller
was hurt for most of the year.
I'm just speaking from a statistical standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Case Keenum, you bring him to D.C., who is he throwing the ball to?
Secret weapon. Josh Dotson.
Okay, you keep believing that.
Lex, release the secret weapon.
Anyway, we might go to a break, man. When we come back from break, we're going to talk about the NFL championship games, which is coming on this weekend. You listen to Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Come back and break. Hey, you listen to the You darn right had to be home.
Will, you were right. Will.
To the Urban Sports Team with myself, Wally, Real T-Ray. Hey, bro, I'm going to make sure you're wrong.
Will, you're right.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Team. Make sure you rate us and leave a comment. Also, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. All right, on Sunday.
Thank you all for listening, by the way. I'm sorry.
On Sunday.
Two against one.
In the AFC Championship game,
the show.
The Jacksonville Jaguars will take on the New England Patriots up at Gillette Stadium. Do you think the Jaguars can put pressure on Tom Brady?
Absolutely.
Uh-oh. Oh. Let's listen. I'm about to record this.
No, record it. Record it if you choose to. But, no. Jacksonville had four guys with 8-plus sacks this season. Jacksonville gets a lot of pressure with their four down linemen. We know that the teams that are able, that are successful in beating New England in the past, have been able to pressure Tom Brady specifically with four pass rushers and dropping the other seven pass rushers. But the problem with Jacksonville is Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
Will Blake Bortles be able to keep that offense running efficiently to score enough points to keep up with New England? Because sooner or later, I don't care if it's the third, I don't care if it's the second half, I don't care if it's the fourth quarter.
You want to take it away.
New England's going to break the puzzle. Yeah. It's going to solve the puzzle, and then they're going to be able to score enough points to separate from
The thing that Jacksonville has going for them, you look at what the Denver Broncos did to Tom Brady the year that they won the Super Bowl. They have all the tools to do with, to copycat what Denver did. You're looking at a guy in Jalen Ramsey.
Defensively.
You got Jalen Ramsey who can follow if you wanted to. You can put him on Gronk, who's a big corner, who's just one of the better cover corners in football. That's what Tlaib did when he checked Gronk in that playoff game. Then you have the pass rush. We already know Calais Campbell. You got Darius when they made that trade. We made that trade out of Buffalo, and they brought him to Jacksonville. You got Fowler, right? Fowler. So there's so much they have.
You're forgetting Ndakwe.
The Nigerian. I know. Yes. I know he is. I know.
I thought you were going to take pride in
I know.
In
I usually
boy.
Do. I usually do. But there's so many other players I like. Like, I like Miles Jack. I mean, I like a lot of what Jacksonville brings to the table in terms of defense. And I think they match up so well against the Patriots offense. They're going to play man. They're going to press him up. They're going to play man, press him up. I don't know what he's doing. And you know, I think they can really hurt. They can hinder what Tom Brady wants to do. Now, with you on the flip side, is that they need Fournette the ball. Like, they need him the ball. He balls. Yeah, I think they can easily beat the Patriots. He doesn't. I don't know if Blake Bortles can do it. I just don't think so.
I agree. And just to add on to it without saying a lot is you open up the play action when Fournette's running.
You do.
And that killed the Steelers at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. Man.
Agreed.
Those last two drives.
Showed it.
Mm-hmm. But Jacksonville's defense is real. And they're confident. And they have nothing to lose. And the Patriots, as good as they are, the Patriots are just very well coached. But the Patriots are beatable.
Yeah, and another thing that possibly can play into Jacksonville's hand is it's reported that Matt Patricia and Josh McDaniels are both leaving to go to other places to be head coaches. So will Bill Belichick have the full attention of his two coordinators in this game?
He won a Super Bowl when he knew that Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel were leaving. So I don't think that plays a role as far as the preparation and game planning. I really don't. And Patricia's been looking for a job for years. Josh McDaniel always gets attention for head coaching jobs, but he was waiting for the right situation to come around. So he's used to that as well. I just feel like, a concern of mine is – can we trust the National Football League as an organization? Can we trust Roger Goodell? If you think about
conspiracy theory,
I'm serious.
Are you serious?
If I tell Roger Goodell today, hey man, you might have Case Keenum versus Blake Bortles in the Super Bowl, and the ratings are already down.
I wouldn't trust it.
I don't know if the NFL is going to let that happen. If you put Nick Foles or Case Keenum is going to play against possibly Blake Bortles, now I'm just wondering. Do you want to watch that game?
I'll watch it because I think there's two teams defensively that I would like to see. But I mean, people want to watch Super Bowl regardless of me. It's the Super Bowl. They're going to watch.
Yes, but ratings are already down.
And yeah, it won't have, be. It won't
and,
be.
And,
a,
and there's no Brady. Now, people will watch Brady lose.
Yeah, or, of course. Or
the possibility of being an upset. So that's the only thing I'm concerned about. Will the calls be fair? Could we see some controversy come out of this weekend? Because,
no, that's a good point.
And it's this one game. Not the NFC game, because regardless, you're going to have a whack quarterback who's not the sexy name. You know, I shouldn't say whack because these guys have worked hard, but you know what I mean from a fan perspective.
No, I definitely agree.
That's a great point that you bring up.
That's a good point. No, very good point.
That's a great question. How would the world react if we had Blake Bortles versus Nick Foles or Blake Bortles versus Case Keenum?
You're right.
That's a great question on the national stage, yeah. The biggest game of the year.
I think football fans are watching. I mean, you're gonna watch Super Bowl regardless. But the fans out there,
popular culture with the pop, the pop.
I don't know. They watch it. But they watch for the commercials. They watch for the commercials.
I still think you would take a significant.
No, I think common sense speaking, of course you would.
And
I mean,
that's where I don't trust professional sports. Not just the National Football League.
So you calling it now? If it comes down to a close call, you think that New England will get the call versus Jacksonville?
Absolutely.
I call it the Portland Trail Blazers versus the Lakers thought process. The Rays thinking
Sacramento Kings. I'm telling you, man.
You guys are really going all the way with your conspiracy.
It's WWE.
I didn't think about it, but he's brought it up. Good.
No,
point.
No, I'm serious. I mean, when you look at the possibility. Regardless of who wins the Eagles and Vikings game, it could. I mean, even with Brady versus Bortles. I mean, Brady versus Foles sounds bad to me. It's not even Manning. It's not a Manning this time. It's a Foles.
That's bad. Either, or it's a, you won't a believe Keenum. It. You won't believe it. You won't believe in it. If it's Foles, you won't believe in it. I'm sorry. You just won't.
You won't believe in Nick Foles versus.
No, not at all.
Why not?
No, it's a foregone conclusion.
I'm not. It's Nick Foles.
I think the Vikings have the better shot to upset a New England in the Super Bowl.
It's Nick Foles, man. Come on, man. It's Nick Foles.
No, I think Philadelphia or the Vikings.
I like Philadelphia's defense. I've always stated that.
If but Nick Jacksonville Foles, goes, I think they're going to win regardless of who they play.
I kind of think so,
because
too.
Their defense is just that real right now.
Give a prediction in that game. Who do you think wins that game? Jacksonville.
Outside of some type of NFL, you know, nonsense, I'm going to go with Jacksonville.
I'm going Jacksonville.
Oh, man. We're all going with Jacksonville.
That's the first.
That's the first time we've all agreed in a long time.
NFC Championship game, Minnesota travels to Philadelphia. Which defense do you expect to show out between the two defenses? We talk about Minnesota's defense is number one. I believe the Eagles is number four.
Yes.
Which one?
I'm going to go with – wow, that's – a. I'm thinking about the matchup.
Yeah, you gotta look at the matchup between who.
The biggest mismatch to me is Philadelphia's corners versus Minnesota's wide receivers.
Yeah.
And then also you'll have Kyle Rudolph versus either McLeod or Jenkins or mm-hmm. Malcolm Jenkins.
Well, Malcolm Jenkins would be good. That's a good matchup, though.
But still, Kyle Rudolph has size.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to go, I think Philadelphia's defense.
Will ball out over Minnesota?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Minnesota's defense over Philadelphia. Only the fact, what you just mentioned, I just think that if you look at who can attack what better, you know what I mean? I just feel like Minnesota has more to attack the Eagles than the Eagles have to attack for, and that's only because of quarterback play. It's not nothing to do. I do like Alshon Jeffries, and I do Torrey Smith. I like what Torrey Smith can do. But
X factor is always Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah, I agree. Always, I mean, they have weapons. If Carson Wentz was there, I would definitely go the other way around. But I just think that what Minnesota has offensively and the defense is stout. I mean, we're talking about speed all around the board, from the linebacking core to the defensive line. We're talking about in the secondary. It's like we look at a complete defense. Minnesota has it. Second, you got cornerback play. Got one of the best safeties in football in Smith. You have some of the best some of the more athletic linebackers with Kendricks and Barr. I'm gonna go with Minnesota.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, I think it could go either
Fletcher
way.
Cox is a beast. I want to make sure I say that. Fletcher Cox for Eagles is a beast.
The Eagles D-line, Brandon Graham.
Oh, Michigan. I know Brandon Graham. I know all about that.
I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with Minnesota.
So you got,
I want to go overall. With Philly, but...
You don't overall?
Yeah, game? I mean, I just feel like...
So you're going to fill off in the game,
I just
too,
feel right? like, you know, it's a team of destiny whenever you catch, you know, a walk-off touchdown like that. That rarely happens. Mm-hmm. I think they carry that momentum into the Super Bowl, man. On the flip side, you know, I would not be shocked, I just want to put on the record, if, you know, they ride that wave of emotion, but Philly quickly, you know... knocks the wind out of them early. Knocks the wind out of their sails early because they jump out with that good defense. You know, Case Keenum's got a lot more to prove in this game.
Yeah. So you're going to Philadelphia, right? If you have the defense, I can only imagine you having the team.
I'm taking the Vikings. Vikings Jaguars Super Bowl. I don't quite see, you know, Tom Brady not getting there because of the NFL, but we'll see.
I'm gonna go with Philadelphia. Philadelphia versus Jacksonville.
It's a good pick. I mean,
it's not a bad pick at all. Either way, I mean, it's gonna be a tough game. That's how I look at it.
It is that. I think that's gonna be the best game
I think it should be. I think most competitive game. The most competitive game. All right, we didn't talk about this last week, but John Gruden signed a big deal with the Oakland Raiders. Ten-year, $100 million.
I know it's 10 years. I don't believe they have officially released a dollar amount.
All right. We'll talk about that after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces. I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Corner piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. A power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. A hustle, no ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, it's born like this. Immaculate. I transform like this, perform like this. What shouts you a new weapon? I don't contemplate, I meditate. Then off your head. This that puts the kiss to bed. This that I got realness. I just know she got this in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dogs, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound that engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a. Your arm will probably switch inside your DNA. All that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I've been through probably offend you, this is Barnes' oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burgers, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead with kids and I wish. Yeah. Soldier's DNA, born inside the beast. Expertise checked out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale motel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've been so well, we caught well in my estate. And I'm gonna shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial, extrovert, and excellence mean an extrovert. And absentness, what the f*** you work? And that's the best, I've struck my nerve. And that's a riff from a penis case. The reason my power's in the earth. Salute the truth from the prophecy. I got loyalty.
This is why I say that hip-hop has done more damage to young African-Americans than racism in recent years.
I live a better life. This is my heritage. All I'm inheriting. Money and power. The maker. I'm meritorious. Tell me something. You motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation. Your DNA an abomination. This is this when you win the matrix. That's your bullets. We do what you're
Ninja Turtle. Anyway, you're listening to the Urban Sports Thing. Myself, Wally, Will T. Ray. All right, John Gruden is back.
Another brother of a Washingtonian.
Oh, ain't that the truth?
Jay Gruden's brother. We get the brother here. The brother. As always.
Like, yeah, we got Harvey Grant.
Byron Westbrook.
Harvey Grant.
Brent Price.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to tell you, this is a good thing. This is a good thing for Washington fans.
Why?
Because Jay Gruden won't coach scared. He has a fallback plan now. So he knows that. He can go out there. He can call a game.
And his brother got him.
Scared.
And his brother got him.
And his brother got him a job if he get fired.
No, you ain't never lying. You ain't never lying. Anyway, John Gruden has a 10-year deal with the Oakland Raiders. You're right. I want to say it was $100 million because that's what the reports were initially. But is he worth? If it was $100 million, would he be worth $100 million contract as a head coach?
I think he. I don't know if he's worth that much, but I know that...
Man, if I'm Bill Belichick, I'm asking for everything.
I know that there was nobody else you could turn to get what you're going to get from John Gruden. And John Gruden, you remember the Tuck rule. We're looking at him, how he revamped that Raiders franchise, and he hadn't been the same since. Uh-huh. And then he went to Tampa and won a Super Bowl with Tony Dungy's team. His work speaks for itself. And I believe that he'll be successful because he's coming into a good situation. He loves quarterbacks. He knows Derek Carr's game. You see the receiving core. We just talked about a duo.
Yeah.
We know that Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree have the potential to be one of those great duos.
May not keep a Crabtree. They may not.
Yeah, well,
they may not.
That's the word right, out of Oakland.
But yeah, they may not.
No, I think the John Gruden signing was part publicity, part coaching.
Yeah.
He's the biggest, hottest name as far as a coach that you can get.
Mm-hmm.
The people in Oakland love him. We don't know how long they'll be in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And he's shown that he can transform this franchise from what he did the first time that he was in Oakland.
What can he do
and make them a winner.
What can he do for Derek Carr?
Well, it's been alleged that John Gruden is a great quarterback whisperer. We saw what he did with Brad Johnson.
Yes.
We saw what he did with Rich Gannon.
With vets.
With veterans.
Yeah. With young quarterbacks, what did he do?
Yeah, Cousins.
He hasn't developed. I mean, will he develop Kirk Cousins in the offseason?
I'm not giving him that.
He has. He's gone down to his QB school in Tampa.
You can say that Sean McVay. I can get that to him.
You can say that.
Sean McVay. I'm not going to. But
Derek Carr's not a rookie now.
Derek Carr's in his third year.
But he's not a vet. Like, he's not an old quarterback. Like, the success that John Gruden had with his quarterbacks were pretty much older quarterbacks.
Well, I'll say this. I think it's fair to say he hasn't had a quarterback as talented as Derek Carr.
I agree. I just think that, he usually recycles quarterbacks. That was his thing.
He coached Favre in Green Bay. He wasn't the head coach, though. But still,
wasn't the quarterback coach. He was
a receivers coach.
Yeah, he wasn't
No,
you made it sound like he really worked hard with Brett Favre. He was on the staff.
Did I say that?
You said he had Brett Favre though. Like, he didn't do anything for Favre.
He coached Brett Favre. Okay, what's wrong with that?
My thing, he didn't coach Brett Favre. That's my point. He was on the staff.
Okay, he was a receiver. He was a receiver's coach, far, right? For real.
Whatever. I don't know what he was.
Wally, I think you just started to argue. You want to take up arguing? That was totally pointless. That was pointless. Like, hesitated like you were coming with some type of fact that was going to set the right
chance. Real talk. Not at all. That wasn't going to happen at all.
Here's the thing. He was a young Brett Favre. He was on the staff. Can I say that?
That sounds good.
And I feel like, Brett Favre benefited from, just having those great football tree, is a good one as well.
It is a good one. That's a good one.
And Jay Gruden is, John Gruden is part of that.
Yeah.
And so I still feel like
Jay Gruden is on John Gruden's tree.
There you go. But I'm just saying, I don't know. I think we may be looking too far in the age of Derek Carr. And again, just looking at his track record. And also what he did with the defense on Oakland was impressive. He had a very good defense already established in Tampa. So he's going to have to do some work.
He drafted
Sebastian Janikowski in the first round.
Yeah, I know.
So Jay Gruden, he knows what he wants to do and he has a plan and he's going to implement it. He's seen enough college football. He's done enough scouting. Just being in the booth, I think he'll be fine. He's done enough scouting on other teams, which is scary.
Yeah, I think I alluded to that one time.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
John Gruden he knows the personnel, he knows the plays of all 32 teams. So he scouted all 32 teams over the past, 6 years since he's been out of football.
Yeah, it's like John Madden. You know what I mean? He's got to watch every football team.
Yeah, I know, but he's been able to learn coaches' play calling tendencies, what they do on different situations.
And they've confided in him as well.
I wonder what coaches come from the booth and what coaches come from the booth and signed on with the team. I'm trying to think of one.
In the National Football League.
In college, he did college games though, right? Before he,
yeah.
So he wouldn't even get to talk to NFL teams. That's all, I guess he wasn't using you know, that kind of
I get it. I can't. That's a good question, right?
National Football League or just in general?
Football League. National Football League.
Because I was going to say Barry Melrose, the Orioles manager.
No, I'm just talking about football.
Okay, football. Yeah, I can't think of anyone.
All right.
Off the top of my head.
All right, it's time to go to break. Anyway, Ray and I attended the MLK East Coast Jam Fest. Woodrow Wilson.
Professionals.
Woodrow Wilson looked good. We'll talk about it after the break.
Let's media members.
For ages.
You dig.
Deuces.
If you wanted to, these expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both, I don't want to lose. And I'm quick, cutting off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money move. Say, I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now on speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss, you a worker, bitch, I make bloody moves. Now she say, she gon' do what or who? Let's find out and see. Cardi B, you know where I'm at, you know where I be. You in the club, just to party, I'm there, I get paid a fee. I be in and out them banks so much, I know they tired of me. Honestly, don't give a f*** about who in front of me. Drop 2 minutes in 6 months, we're breaking this hard to me. I'm a bottle, 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 I'm a for me, if you wanted to, these expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both. I don't want it.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Team, myself, Wally, Will T, and Ray. We attended the MLK East Coast Jam Fest. We saw St. James High School defeat Millwood High. I know, right? 68-44 and Woodrow Wilson High School. I didn't know. Ray was like, Wally. I was like, Ray, they're in Virginia, right? Ray was like, nah, Wally, in D.C.
Now, Will, you know Wilson High School is in D.C. This guy, I don't know where he grew up at. He said he'd been in America his whole life. So, no, he thought it was the Woodrow Wilson Bridge. He thought it was close to the bridge.
I was like,
wow.
Is that not some...
Look, man.
I need a GPS, I got sandals on in the wintertime.
Like, real people say real things. I'm honest.
I did say that.
I can admit my fault.
You admitted your fault. That's probably the one time you ever admitted that you were wrong about something.
This is true. Anyway,
my Odom took too many supplements. So did you. I'm looking at a box of them right now.
Like I said, Woodrow Wilson High School beat Capital Christian Academy in a thrill of 66-64. Ray spoke with Wilson High's coach Angelo Hernandez after the game.
Big man, that's one of our leaders, not just one of our lead scorers, lead rebounders, lead assists. I mean, he does a lot of things for us. He's a versatile player, and first time he went down in a while since last year. But other guys stepped up, and that's what it's about. We're a deep team. Sometimes we're not able to see it because, I mean, this tough schedule we have, it's just, these are barn burners, man. Capital Christian played well. Came out, we had spurts, we had down. I mean, they just played together. They stayed together. The energy was low. I mean, we're tired. We're on our 23rd game. And so you can see some fatigue, but there's no excuses. You know, they got to keep playing. We're in the second half of our season, and they want to continue to get better. I mean, they know they don't talk to the refs. Let me talk to them. So their attention is on me sometimes. Sometimes it hurts and sometimes it helps. I know those guys. And, you know, but the inconsistencies, not saying they were here tonight, But, you know, I just ask questions, and I just like answers. You know, if it's not nothing, it's nothing. Hey, we move on to the next one. But they fought through it. I think it was actually a good officiated game, even though the fouls looked odd. That's kind of odd for me to say that. I usually don't say that. But it was a good game.
So last thing,
last year, man, I had a bunch of guys who bought into my system, four-year guys, and this year I have some transfers, and they're still learning who I am and what I am and what our team is about. And sometimes it shows that they've grown up, but sometimes it doesn't. Some kids, they have to be coached. You have to coach them, and I'm not going to stop coaching the kids. It'll be hard. So last year, camaraderie, and it was just a lot. Like, down the stretch, during this half of the season, everything was clicking. And like I said, we just had a game last night. We played well. The lopsided win, it was like 93-27. And so coming in here, they were a little sluggish. I could see it. But I want them to go to the college level. And so we do everything that's practice, shoot arounds, even travel. And so we do everything. But I think it's coming together. I think it's coming together right now. We're 16-8. And we're right where I thought we would be. You know, I built a tough schedule just so we could see where we would be, so we could compete. Other guys stepped up, and that's the most important thing.
All right, man. That was Ray, man. This, you know, his, what's it? What's the dude that passed away from TNT? His real,
like, Craig Sager.
Yeah, that was his Craig Sager. Interview, man.
I like Angelo. I like what he's doing at Wilson. If, you know, anyone listening has the time, you should go and read up on Angelo Hernandez and his story as to how he became a coach. And he actually played college basketball at North Carolina A&T.
Oh, really?
One of our rival schools, yeah. And actually, he was a walk-on.
Oh, wow.
He played for the intramural team, which their intramural team travels.
Oh, okay.
To other schools, kind of like a JV team.
Uh-huh.
And eventually, he walked on and played D1 basketball for North Carolina A&T.
Oh, that's impressive. That's
a tough player, moved to D.C., and he does more than just coach at Wilson. He also he helps kids to graduate.
Oh,
it's an awesome story. They've been nationally ranked under him, 29-4 last year. He had a good group, which is kind of what I was asking him about, was this group is different. This group has already lost 8 games up until they lost last year. And you heard him say he challenges players, and as you saw, Wiley, that was your first time getting a chance to see him. He's tough on those guys during the entire game. He's on the ref the entire game. He stands on the court the entire game, which I don't think is legal, but he does it. And I think he's doing an excellent job. He played, to me, a very tough opponent in a game with, considering they had an injury, if you heard that part of the interview.
Yeah, but
I feel like Wilson should have lost that game.
They lost Ricardo Lindo,
right,
the senior.
And I feel like
6 points.
I feel like, and defensively, he was just a beast.
He had 6 quick points.
Capital Christian had a bigger team.
Yeah.
They probably were a deeper team, but Wilson came through and got the win, man. And it was amazing to see just good local high school basketball.
It really was.
Only on the Urban Sports Scene can you hear a breakdown of high school basketball from members of the media. That's what's up.
This dude here. But yeah, I was impressed with Woodrow Wilson. Ray mentioned, like the kid who was.
He calls it Woodrow Wilson.
Woodrow Wilson. You want to say what I was going to say?
Wilson High?
Wilson. No. Everything
Wilson
needs
produced my mom's, man. Great high school. And my cousin.
I'm going to say it correctly. I like number 13. Number 13.
When you talk about your high school, you say, well, yeah, I went to Eleanor Roosevelt.
I went to Eleanor Roosevelt's team. I went to Rhodes.
I know. Exactly.
You know
what I'm
saying? Exactly. Real people say real things. But I didn't go to Woodrow Wilson, so I'm saying Woodrow Wilson, not Wilson. But yeah, respect. Big ups to Wilson, though. See, I just corrected myself. Big up to Wilson High. They had ballers, though. They did, man. Just had this kid, Stevens. I think number 13 had like 5 threes. Killing, dog. I mean, Will T, killing. You know what I'm saying?
I wasn't there, so I can't attest for any of it. But sounds like you got, from what you guys, you know, you got a lot of great information, got to talk to the coaches, and, you know, got to see some good basketball, basketball.
We got to see a kid from St. James, Amir Harris. He's being recruited by Davidson, has good size, very disciplined, looks to be, maturing.
You talking about playing for St. James, right?
James, yeah. Which is in Hagerstown, by the way. And I ain't gonna say what I was gonna say. But that game was not the most entertaining. The Wilson game was definitely the highlight of our night.
Yeah. Anthony Garcia for St. James, the kid with number 20 with glasses, had like 20. Had like a dub. He was the MVP.
Yeah.
He was the MVP of his team.
They played a
Oh, they killed
very undersized team.
That team shouldn't have. Never mind. I can't say it.
That team from Millwood High School.
Yeah.
From Winchester, Virginia. Just they were overmatched.
Yeah.
But they still played a tough game considering they should have lost probably 40.
Yeah, they really should have.
Considering. But
they played their butts off. They really did.
You know, that's the great thing about high school basketball. Mm-hmm. One player, like if you have one dominant player, he can almost change the fortune of your team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to see like his match, the young, see their maturation and see them develop their skills. You know, you see them at high school, and then you'll probably see them maybe for the next 2 or 3 years in, you know, D1 or D1 division school, college, and then hopefully go on to the NBA.
God will.
DeAndre Thomas for Millwood. He committed to Samford already. Yeah. Samford, Samford. They play some big schools sometimes.
Yeah, they do. They've been to the tournament before. Yeah. I was impressed with him. Him,
he should
have
been more aggressive. Probably,
yeah, he should have been way more
considering
aggressive.
Considering their opponent.
Yeah, definitely.
But we need to continue to get back out there. We've been invited to Parkdale High School.
Yeah.
So
big things popping. And boys and girls basketball.
We'll be out there.
Boys and girls club. Yeah.
Will T played boys and girls club.
I did.
I coached boys and girls, you know what I mean? So I know about winning championships.
You didn't play boys and girls club, right?
Nah, I played on the streets.
Oh man. Anyway, it's about time to wrap this show up, man. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey Mega, lead us out, big homie.